The following Still Ripples podcast is dedicated to all those living in confusion, who are in pain, and who are searching. He who has ears, let him hear.
Greetings and welcome to this week's Still Ripples podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Brian.
We are still continuing through the Book of Job, and Brian has a little bit of a synopsis to kind of bring chapter 15 into 16, so go right ahead.
All right, I know it's been a while, but if y'all do recall, in the previous chapter, we had Eliphaz talking, and he was kind of talking down to Job. That's a little bit of what was going on. You know, he's telling him how he's presumed much, and he calls him guilty in so many words. He begins to kind of barrage him with several sarcastic questions, and continues to go on with what he has seen in life. Basically, he's very repetitious about that, and all of this is from his own perspective, and he treats it like it's just the absolute truth of life. And in ending it, he even goes so far to basically imply that Job is godless. In fact, he kind of flat out says it. He doesn't say, "Go, Job, you're godless," but that's what he's implying there.
Mm-hmm. As we venture into chapter 16, much like after each one of his friends talks, Job is going to make kind of a rebuttal. He's going to reply to his friend. This particular one in the Bible that I'm going to be reading from, which is going to be New King James, says Job reproaches his pitiless friends. And you know, that really, especially after hearing a lot of the stuff that Eliphaz had to say to Job, you really get that feeling that, you know, his friends really aren't the best friends to have in this situation. Which, before the podcast, you know, I was talking with Brian, and, you know, God gave Satan reign over all against Job. So, I mean, it doesn't come out and flat out say it, but you know, you can see a lot of Satan's philosophies and Satan's work being spoken through Job's friends. Yeah. And, you know, that's just yet another way that Job is coming under attack. As always, since we are getting into the first part of this chapter, Brian, what are some of the different biblical or different versions of the Bible have to say about this particular chapter?
Well, you gave us the New King James Version, so mm-hmm. The New American Standard Version actually breaks it up into two parts. Verses 1 through 5, Job says friends are sorry comforters. Mm-hmm. 6 through 22, Job says God shattered him. And the New Living Translation, this kind of reminds us that this is Job's fifth speech, mm-hmm. a response to Eliphaz. The God's Word translation breaks it up into three parts. Verses 1 through 8, Job speaks, "My friends do not help ease my pain." Verses 9 through 17, Job describes what God has done to him. And 18 through 22, Job appeals his case to heaven. The English Standard Version basically just says, Job replies, "Miserable comforters are you." The Holman Christian states that this is Job's reply to Eliphaz. The Message Bible breaks it up into two parts. 1 through 17, Job defends himself. "If you were in my shoes," is basically what he's saying. Verses 18 through 22, "The one who represents mortals before God." The Net Bible breaks it up into two parts. Verses 1 through 5, Job's reply to Eliphaz. Excuse me, three parts. 6 through 17, abandonment by God and man, and verses 18 through 22, an appeal to God as a witness. So you're kind of getting an idea of what this is about at this point in time. To kind of give you a little bit of a summary of what to expect, you know, Job's response can actually be described in three heartfelt requests. The first is a plea to his friends for sympathy, as we'll see in verses 1 through 14. Then we're going to see kind of a plea to God for, like, justice, you know, of what's being done with him. The final part is actually in chapter 17, but I'll go ahead and give it to you. It's basically a plea to God to end his life and relieve him from suffering. Mm-hmm.
So without any further ado, let's dive into Job chapter 16, starting in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my words, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief." Stopping right there, I mean, that kind of shows how Job feels about what his friends have been saying to him. He blatantly says, look, you know, I'm in a really bad situation, and all you're doing is making it worse. If you were suffering the same way that I am suffering, I wouldn't treat you this way. Yeah. You know, that's one of those, the story of a lot of people out there. You know, if only you could walk a mile in my shoes. If you had to deal with what I had to deal with, you probably wouldn't be talking the same way. You wouldn't be saying the same things. You wouldn't be doing the same things.
Yeah, I mean, well, he flat out in verse 2, the second part of it, he calls them miserable comforters.
Mm-hmm.
And a literal translation of that actually means, like, comforters of trouble. I think it's kind of interesting, like we were talking before the podcast, where he describes it as words of wind in verse 3. The way he's describing what Eliphaz is bringing to him, because, I mean, or another translation would say windy words, or another one would say vain words, to kind of give you an idea. This is basically I kind of find it a little bit of a humorous retort, but it's a retort to Eliphaz's reproach from earlier in the previous chapter, because you got to remember, he referred to Job's knowledge as windy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, basically, Job is sending it back at him and saying, well, your words are. Mm-hmm. Your words basically are vain.
Yeah. So, you know, looking at this, Job again is starting to defend himself. This time it's a little bit more on more of an attack and an offensive in calling him the miserable comforters that you are. And to take that all into consideration, you know, everything that Job's gone through, everything that Job has put up with this far, he's getting a little more frustrated with his so-called friends in saying, you know, look, really, lay off. You know, I'm just a guy. I'm suffering here. I'm in a lot of pain. And I could really use some words of comfort right now. And, you know, it's kind of a, not really begging or pleading, but he's stating a fact. It's pretty much, you're my friends. Be friends.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a very interesting expression to strengthen you with my mouth in verse 5. It's kind of a heartless talk that he's referring to. But let's go ahead and continue in verse 6 here. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has worn me out. You have made desolate all my company. You have shriveled me up. And it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully on the cheek. They gather together against me. You know, I think it's very interesting. I mean, you don't quite... if I'm just reading this to somebody, mm-hmm. you don't quite gauge what's going on or who's doing it, but based on what we're reading it as, you know, reading it in Scripture here, mm-hmm. we obviously know that what he's talking about here is God.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he's referring to he tears me in his wrath. He hates me and hates me and gnashes at me with his teeth. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, God being spirit, we know that that he isn't physically gnashing at him with his teeth.
Right.
These are all descriptive terms called anthropomorphisms, basically, mm-hmm. that give us an idea of how he feels that God is treating him in this fashion.
And one of the neat things about this, and remember, the whole deal that Satan has with God is that he will basically curse God because of all this stuff that's happening. Right now, he's not really saying anything negative towards God. He's actually looking at it more in the aspect of God is doing this to me. He acknowledges God. That's one of the first things. And he's basically saying, you know, God is the one doing this to me. He tears me with his wrath. He hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. I mean, he's kind of, and I can relate. I know when I get really frustrated, eventually it's just like, you know, just start saying exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Job is getting across, because his friends see what's going on, but it's like he's trying to paint a more vivid picture for them to understand. Mm-hmm. Again, trying to reach out a little bit for that comfort, but stating a fact that if they're going to come at him with all these different accusations and attacks, he's going to present to them, this is what I'm going through. Yeah. This is how I feel. This is my experience up to this point.
You know, verse 6 really stands out to me. It kind of jumped out at me while you were speaking, Greg. You know, though I speak, my grief is not relieved, and if I remain silent, how am I eased? Mm-hmm. So it's like Job has given us both sides of it here. He said, you know, that he's not getting any relief from speaking. He's acting, well, no one's hearing my plea here. They're not understanding what I'm saying. You know, I don't feel like God's understanding me. I don't feel like I'm getting anything from y'all but retorts here. And you know, earlier with Eliphaz and them, that, you know, they trashed him, saying basically, you know, you don't need to be saying that. You need to be saying this or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in a way trying to stifle him, it seems like. But he's not gaining anything from speaking, and he's not getting anything from, you know, remaining. He's like, I'm not going to get anything from remaining silent either.
Yeah.
So he's basically letting them know, I've got to get this out, even though it's not relieving me, because silence isn't going to do it either. I mean, he was, as we said before, he was silent for a good while in his mourning. I mean, and he
7 days worth.
Yeah, and he felt no comfort from it. Mm-hmm. And now he's speaking, and he's not getting any relief from it. So, I mean, it's almost like a kind of a helpless feeling, like, well, what am I supposed to do here?
Mm-hmm. And verse 7, going into that a little bit, but now he has worn me out. You know, up to this point, I mean, Job still continues to fight. He doesn't just flat out give up, but he's admitting that all of this is wearing him down, almost to the point beyond where he can come back in his mind. You know, he takes on the mentality a lot of times of, you know, it would be better if I wasn't even born than to suffer the way that I'm suffering.
Yeah.
And for him to say, but he has worn me out, you know, he's saying God has worn me down. He's made me desolate in all my company. He's, again, just in majority of his speeches, that's really what he does, is he points out how he's suffering and everything that's going on to him.
Yeah. So what does all my company mean? That's one thing I had to look up, because I'm like, what is it? What does he mean by that? Another translation would say it's a band of witnesses. Basically, when he says all my company or my band of witnesses, those are the ones that he lost. Basically, anybody that can attest to his innocence, his children, his servants, all of them are gone. And so basically, it's like he has no witness. You know, he kind of goes into that court scene mentality like he had before. He has no witnesses to attest and retort what they've been saying to him, that, oh, you're guilty, Job. And he's like, no, if they were still here, they can attest to my innocence. In verse 8, he's talking about, you know, you have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. I mean, what is the it? The it is actually his leanness. He's referring to the wretched state of his own body. I mean, he has become, or his body has basically become a witness against him too. So, you know, as we were talking before the podcast, I mean, his friends are against him. He feels that God is against him. He has no witnesses on his side. And then now his own body is against him. So
he's pretty much ultimately at this point admitting he's lost every little thing.
Exactly.
Including that which could even come to his defense.
Yeah. You get into verse 11, he says, God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I think another translation says ruffians, and there's, yeah, ungodly, the wicked, various names for basically the same thing. But what he means by that, the ungodly, he's talking about his own friends. He's like, I'm being turned over to y'all for y'all's ridicule, basically. I mean, these are people that are supposed to be his friends, that they came under their own accord to, you know, supposedly under the guise of comforting him, and now they're persecuting him with all these various unkind speeches. I mean, that's mean, it's kind of ridiculous, really.
Yeah.
We get into verse 12 all the way to the end of the chapter. Whenever he's talking about, he's basically telling you all these things that he's, how he feels with God's, I guess, verbal silence, but mm-hmm. all that's happening to him. It's almost like he's comparing it to like a combat or like a fight that's going on. You know, he talks about God's archer, you know, or he says he has set his set me up for a target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart. And I'm kind of cutting in your reading there. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, it's all right. Starting back in verse 12, I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. You know, again, he's acknowledging the suffering that he's going through. I mean, he's pointing out that, yes, God is doing this to me, but he still maintains his innocence through all of this. And in the way that he addresses his friends, every time he talks to them, he brings up the fact, look, I don't know why I'm suffering. I admit that, yes, God is doing this, but I don't understand why. You know, if what you guys say is correct, then, you know, you would have to tell me what it is. Now, in this one, he even says, if I did have to go to court, I don't have anybody.
Yeah. One thing that you certainly can note in this mm-hmm. is these are all descriptive terms when he's coming to God, and not one point in time. I mean, mm-hmm. he's getting frustrated, obviously. I mean, that's very apparent. But in his description, he keeps it at that, a description, mm-hmm. and he doesn't basically trash God in any way. He doesn't bash him. He doesn't say, you know, he talks about whenever back up in 9, he said, and he hates me. He's referring to how, you know, God's acting upon him or whatever, mm-hmm. but he doesn't say, I hate God, basically, is yeah. what I'm trying to say.
So, well, that's pretty much in a nutshell the first half of chapter 16. And, you know, it's really painting a vivid picture, and Brian pointed this out before we got started, that this truly is a poetic book of the Bible. I mean, if you read it the way that the everything is described and everything is portrayed, it's very poetic. It's mm-hmm. very it's
full of descriptions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's quite amazing. So, with that, if you would join me in a quick prayer. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just we come to you today, just lifting up your holy name, God. We pray that you would go out before us, take this podcast to the uttermost parts, God. We pray that you would use this as a tool, as a vessel to spread the word of your love and your compassion for each and every one of us, God. Though Job's book is a kind of a sad book to look at, God, just to the hope of what it will bring in knowing that that you are ultimately in control, and that even through Job's suffering, you were there to take care of him. And God, I pray that you would be with those in the community that may be going through troubles or may have a sickness or anything of that nature. God, we just lift them up in prayer that you would heal them from the tip of their head to the bottom and the soles of their feet, God. Again, thank you for the community that we do have, God, and thank you for the time that we're allowed to come together and just bring glory and honor to your name. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Now for the proverb. We're in Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 16, going through verse 20. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intention is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. So, if you're wanting to look us up, you can do so on our website at www.stillripples.org. And we're going through, again, we've said this for the past few podcasts, and it still remains the same. We're going to be going through a few changes on that. And once all that fully takes place, we'll let you guys know. If we do it properly, you'll never know that it happened. If we don't, well, you know, do forgive us. But ultimately, we're doing this to better serve the community for God.
Yeah, so we do have a Facebook page as well. You can search Still Ripples. On our website, we have a Twitter mm-hmm. that you can access. We also have Google Plus and various other means. And you can also, if you want to just access old episodes and stuff, you can check out our XML page or FeedBurner. We also are on there. And
last but not least, we are still trying to get a little used to having a phone line, but we do have a phone line. If you want to call in, give us comments, prayer requests, anything like that, you can do so at 816-9-RIPPLE. That's RIPPLE. And we check that periodically, and look forward to hearing from you guys. So with that, hope you guys have a blessed day.